I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 4, Episode 4. The number 4, 1977, McLaren M24 of Johnny Rutherford. Mm-hmm. IndyCar. If Nate was here, he'd be wanting the number 4 Kodak Chevrolet, but I can't do any NASCAR.
Well, I mean, we could double dip in the Corvette camp, and
yeah, I was thinking about that, but you know, I didn't really want to get into that.
I mean, season 4, episode 4, it's kind of like the 2025 what's it, SF 20 25 28, whatever they're on.
Well, as you mentioned earlier, it could have been the team, you know, season 4, episode 4. 4-4, Team LH, yeah. Blessed. Yeah. Hashtag blessed.
Who knows? Maybe we'll be saying that for the 44th episode of the season.
Yeah.
If we get there.
Anyways, on tonight's episode, we'll discuss the fiasco that is NASCAR quickly. We'll look at the prologue for the World Endurance Championship that kicks off this Friday. Not this weekend, but Friday.
No. The prologue already happened. This is round
one. Yes, I know. No. This is round one. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Round one is Friday.
I thought you said that the prologue was this week.
No, sorry. Okay. What happens when you get 2 weeks off?
But yes, Friday is round one.
Round one. For those of us on the East Coast, it's a 6 a.m. start. God. Very excited about that. Or for you in the central time zone, 5 a.m.
I don't know.
Provided you have the WEC app.
I was going to say how much work is going to get done Friday for anyone watching WC in the States.
Well, it'll be over. Is it a 6-hour race or a 12-hour race?
It's like an 8 or 10.
1,800 kilometers. Oh, it's a 10-hour race.
It's a something. 10. I think it's 10 hours, yeah.
Holy crap.
Because they can't.
Wow. That's the entire workday. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll look forward to, kicking off tomorrow, I believe, is Formula One testing.
Oh, that's right.
In Bahrain.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you have F1 TV, you can listen to the F1 TV folks without Will Buxton. And If you've been missing them, the Sky Sports folks, as they join in a joint telecast of the proceedings.
Probably should have been more productive with today's workload, because then I don't really know what's going to get done this next few days.
Gotcha.
With all this testing and
because as we lead into the weekend, for the weekend we have the IndyCar opener.
That's right. Yeah, Friday's going to be a busy day.
St. Pete.
Yeah.
Kind of disappointed that you won't be attending?
Maybe not this year, but, you know, maybe next year.
Gotcha. Well, it's, you know. And then we have the opener of the MotoGP season in Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
Quite the kickoff. Oh, and then we do have NASCAR weekend at COTA.
Oh yeah.
So there is that.
Yeah. It's a road course. We should be more excited about it. Just from...
What I'm not excited about?
I guess what we like, but... I don't know. Based off these last couple race weekends, I don't know.
How these races finish? Yeah, exactly. All right. Anyways, let's get into it. Let's get the misery over with.
Yes, please do.
Hold on 1 second, please. I'm trying to find the thing that I need. Can't find it. We are checking. Got it. Hold on. Okay. So we had from Atlanta. Now, I will say this. It's a great track because there's tons of passing.
Oh, hold on. Do you want to start out with Daytona? Because we didn't touch that last
time. Oh, we didn't want to touch that?
You wanted to? I was just going to say.
I don't really. I mean, outside of the Will Byron repeated.
And that my point stands still. All you need to watch is the last five laps, and yeah, this one was the last three laps. You didn't even need to watch
last
the last
three
one.
Laps, right? So, congratulations to William Byron.
Yes, and after week one, we go one for one on green white checkers.
Right, and then after week two, we go two for two. But we don't even get there. This is ridiculous.
Just kind of skipping over Atlanta. I'm hoping Coda is not 3-for-3 on this.
God. But no, I'm not. But I'm going to just tell you, it is, you know, like, you have to listen to Clint Bowyer going, this is like in, and then guys are like plowing into each other. And I'm going, no, this is like a train wreck. You know, I mean, Austin Cindric had him and Blaney had the two fastest cars, okay, and both of them got taken out. Mm-hmm. Blaney fought back, but it was he had to come from the back of the pack, and I think he smoked his tires. But Cindric got just wiped out. I mean, and it was Larson who goes by, and then I don't know what his spotter was thinking. He wasn't even close to being clear. And he moved up on him, and Cindric went right into the wall. Mm. So, anyways, that led to a green-white checker setup, which the Fox broadcasting crew was all excited about. And around we go, and then we have another crash. But this time... Instead of just, you know, throwing a caution, they throw the caution, but they threw the checker too. Whereas the night before in the Xfinity Series, same thing happened. Threw the caution, same scenario, and we went green, white, checker again. Hmm. So you tell me. Anyways. Christopher Bell with the win. So he's locked in. So it's Bell and Byron. Then we had Carson Hocevar. Now, I kind of wish Nate was here for this because this kid is either he's starting to be, I think, well, in my world, the most unlikable guy in NASCAR. And that's hard because that's falling behind the Dillon brothers and Logano. That's tough, but this kid, he's gonna get his rear end taken out. Anyways, Larson was third. Blaney fought his way back to fourth. Stenhouse rebounded to finish fifth. Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch, Ross Chastain, Bubba Wallace, and John Hunter Nemechek, your top 10. Kyle Busch coming off a truck win on Friday night. That was exciting.
Exciting. Sorry, I'm just looking at the results. Daytona was not technically a green-white checker, but it was a restart within the last five laps.
Oh, okay.
So that's that. No overtime. So they did actually go the distance, which fair play to them. But they did red flag the race within 10 to go. So
yes, yep. Typical NASCAR.
Red for 15 minutes and 27 seconds.
Yes,
great. That's great.
Fantastic. Yeah, in between stage racing and stuff, it's awesome. It's start and stop. Great stuff.
Yeah. And then, oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Is this? Oh, hold on.
Uh-oh.
I've done an oopsie.
Oh.
Hold on.
No.
I'm looking at the wrong year.
No. Shocking.
I mean, it was the same winner each year.
What are you looking at? Like 1973?
No, I was looking at 24.
Oh, no. Sorry. Wait. Back then, they don't have... Back then, they didn't have...
Nope. Let me...
Stage racing.
We were correct. It was a green-white checkered.
It was a green-white checkered. All right.
Because they went 201 laps.
All right.
So, good for them. And let's see. Man, they changed it up. I don't know if I like this. Just thinking of load. I love technology. Slow internet.
It's awesome.
There we go. That definitely went into overtime. Race was 265 laps after a prescribed 260 laps. So they definitely went over.
Wow.
And yeah, Coda's up next.
Coda's up next.
And they're doing the short layout. So they're going like halfway through the S's and then they're cutting.
No. They're not doing that track that they're in the supercars on.
No. They're not using that shortcut. They're using the next shortcut that's for so the original, they've basically made a new layout.
Are they not going, so they're not going all the way out to the end of the track?
No, we're not going all the way out. So what they're,
well, why?
I don't, it,
is it, I don't, it taxes I, the driving skill of these guys?
No, the only argument I can see this for is you get more laps, so it's more towards the entertainment side. This is the only reason I can see this is one, the lap count goes up, and two, the pace lap for cautions is shorter. Like that's it. That's all I can see out of this.
Fantastic.
And then unless they were concerned about brake temps after flying down the long back straight.
Yeah.
But I mean.
Yep.
I don't know. We'll see how it goes, but
we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, there's outside of the Grand Prix layout, there is a cut through, and yes, like the supercars used it 1 year, and that's the West layout, I think it is.
Yeah.
Where you go through the main start finish line around the triple right hander under the tower, and then there's the East layout, which is the back, like way back part of it.
God.
And that's, but they're going to use the East cut through, but with the rest of the West course. So basically it just makes, instead of having kind of a flowing, lead into the cut through from the S's, instead they're going to kind of like wrap around that long right hander in the final part of the S's and then brake hard, do almost a 180 hairpin and then go cut through and then towards the back and then onto the back straight that way.
Gotcha.
So that 180 kind of seems like the hairpin at the Charlotte Roval that they made last year. So I don't
love
have
that,
really
don't
high
they?
Hopes. Yeah.
It's,
I think they're looking for more of that.
Gotcha.
It's a road course race, so you know, if as long as they sort each other out, you know, after, I mean, granted, like it will be pretty single file by that point because it's hard to go too wide through the S's.
Gotcha.
So
gotcha.
But yeah, that's enough NASCAR.
That's gonna be exciting. All right. Well, we're onto there.
Oh,
on
I guess the only. Or I shouldn't say the only, but a somewhat positive note with COTA is that the IMSA VP Challenge Series is going to be there that same weekend as a sprint race. So
this weekend,
yeah.
Oh, cool.
So I mean, I know they've run the full course before with those cars, so it'll be a little bit shorter, but yeah, it's a good race to watch.
Yep, that'll be on the Peacock.
It might even be on.
It won't be on Fox
TV on YouTube.
Oh yeah, okay, all right, good point.
But I'd probably all right. go with Peacock first.
Peacock first, okay. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Where shall we go next? Let's go to. WEC.
Alrighty.
So last weekend, we had the prologue. And it was also the debut of the Aston Martin Valkyrie, unfiltered.
Yes.
So they're encouraging the Valkyrie, right? This is the FIA. Mm-hmm. They're encouraging the Valkyrie to be loud, right?
Noisy,
which is everyone's excited about.
Yes.
Guess what they did in GTD?
Made everyone quiet.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they muffled the Corvette.
Yeah.
The Mercedes, and the Mustang. And I think maybe the Aston Martin. Can you believe this?
Yeah, I don't. Well, so because I just saw that today or yesterday.
They muffled them. Like they, after the prologue, they're gonna muffle them more.
Well, so then, is the Valkyrie louder than all the GT3 cars now?
It's loud as loud. I went back and listened to that Marshall Pruitt thing, and that thing is awesome, it's loud.
Yes. No, I totally agree. It's loud. Like I get it. Yep. It's definitely edging out the Cadillac for the loudest car out there.
True.
But I guess my question is, are they, even though they've let them open it up, is it at a higher decibel level than what the GT3s are?
I don't know, Christian. It just seems like a dumb thing.
I agree. I mean, you know? If the platform is GT3 and you now want to just throw a muffler on these guys for...
Yeah, exactly.
No better reason, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really get it.
Well, there you go. So anyway, it's just kind of recapping the four sessions over the weekend, two Saturday, two Sunday. In hypercar, we had four different manufacturers be the fastest cars. Mm-hmm. So Ferrari was number one in session one, Cadillac number one in session two, Porsche faster in session three, and BMW faster in session four.
All right.
Five cars went faster. This is on my notes here. Five cars went faster than last year's pole time. That included both BMWs, both Cadillacs, and the 83 AF Corsa Ferrari.
Oh yeah, that's perfect. And,
yeah,
and those are the which race did they win?
Oh, but, no, they did not Spa. Did they win?
No, it was a second half season win.
What?
It wasn't Fuji.
It wasn't Monza, was it?
No, Monza was before Le Mans. Was it Coda? It was Coda.
The AF Corsa car one?
Yeah, I thought it, I think it's okay. Coda, right?
They got one. They got something.
I know they got one.
Yeah. Let's see. Toyota, which was, I don't want to say quiet, but they logged the most laps.
Yes.
And then I will say this. The Valkyrie did almost 550 laps.
Yes, they pretty much completed a race distance.
Yeah, they did.
Of Qatar.
Now, some good news in the GT3 spec seems to be, well, this link up with the with Ben Barnicot running in WEC and in IMSA, as well as Vassif Sullivan sending some guys over to the WEC series to help the Akotas team out with the Lexus, mm-hmm. is paying off as the good. As the Lexus ran fast on Friday, both sessions was the lead car. Corvette was fast in session one on Saturday, and Ferrari was fast in the afternoon session. I don't think there was much sandbagging going on.
No, it didn't.
Do you want to take a guess who was the fastest bronze driver?
Ben Keating. I saw that report.
Yes.
Not. Not that they need any, or I'm sorry, not that there's any BOP in that class because there isn't.
No.
But you know what? I saw might be returning.
What?
To sports car racing is evening out of driver weight.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
I didn't read the story on it, but I saw it.
Yeah. But basically, this is stemming from the idea of what Verstappen was talking about, you know, either last year or the year before, whenever they've been asking him questions about going to Le Mans. And that was his one complaint, was that driver's weight is not averaged in some way, or you're not weighing up to a minimum weight.
Gotcha.
So that's the one outlier in the performance there.
Yep. Gotcha. It's a 10-hour race Saturday.
Yes.
That'll be exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it should be good. I think I think these cars is probably the fastest I would like to watch at this track.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, you probably could watch F3, and I think the F2 race was okay, but the F1 cars, I just don't. It doesn't do it for me. There, it's definitely a motorcycle track for sure, and it just doesn't. It's a good qualifying track for the F1 cars, but
now
in terms of a racetrack, I have to find
this. So, in addition to the WEC race this weekend, there is a 30-car grid of sports prototype and GT cars from 1966 to 1981 running. So we have a sick Ferrari 512 BBLM.
Is this which at ran an IMSA Qatar or
this is at Qatar? No, this is at Qatar.
Huh.
from 1979. That car was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It ran in IMSA, mostly at Daytona and Sebring, but it was pretty cool. There is a Porsche 908 running, a bunch of 911s from like 69 to 70 something. There is a 928S running, which is cool. This is even rarer. A 934-5. So this is before they went to the 935. And then they went to the 935 Kramers, and then all the crazy ones, the JLP 935s, the Interscopes, the Don Fitzpatrick racing ones, and the Coca-Cola Bob Aiken cars that got really whacked out. Even the Moby Dicks that Andile ran and Porsche ran. I mean, the 934-5 was kind of a cool car. It was kind of a hybrid, so it was awesome. But that's pretty cool.
Okay.
Two 30-minute races, one Thursday, one Friday.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
I like that. So
we'll have to go digging for that and see if we can find
it. I'll have to dig around for that. I wonder where that's going to be. I guess
my only question, though, is are they going to be muffled?
Those guys?
Yeah.
God, I hope not. Anyways, just don't swear. No swearing.
Yeah, don't do that.
The World Rally guys are all up in arms about this too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because it applies to them too. Yeah.
Some guy got binged for like 10,000 euros for dropping an F-bomb on TV. It's like Jesus, God Almighty. Anyways, yeah. Nothing here.
Nope.
All right. Well, that's our WEC. Moving on to Formula One, Formula Uno. I guess the biggest thing this weekend is Lewis's debut for Ferrari.
Yeah, but I mean, it's also testing. So
yeah, it's testing.
Everyone's just gonna get miles, and
yeah, just pray that car doesn't break down.
Yeah, at this point, it's oh god, what is this? Is this the fourth or fifth year of this set of regulations?
Yeah.
So everyone pretty much knows what they have that they're rocking up with, and
yes,
I'm sure teams will probably be a little bit closer, or that might be a slight shuffle, but it
we're not going to know until next week.
No, you won't. No one will know.
There's no
pace. What pace?
The only session. The last session. Well, see, the thing is, you want to just go out and get miles on the car, because this is the first time the cars have really run, yeah, right, outside of the sims. And I think Ferrari did a shakedown, but it's not really a true.
Well, everyone gets the like 10 kilometers of media,
which Red Bull did today. Ferrari, I think, did it like a couple days. Well, like late last week at Maranello, at Fiorano. You know, but not. You know, but the thing is, you can't really go out and you got to be careful. It's only. Because next week,
right? I mean, to a degree, it's those 10 kilometers. It really is just some brief media content and an installation run to make sure that the car fires up and everything is not bolted together, not falling apart.
My money's on Kimi Antonelli stuff in the Mercedes.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be one. I think Haas will be okay.
Berman and Ocon, yeah, that should be fine. Yeah.
I don't see an issue there.
Sauber.
Alpine, I can see doing, putting it in the wall.
Jack Dillon?
Yeah. or either that or the, oh wait, no, isn't Alpine this year using a Mercedes engine? Isn't that this year?
I think so, yes.
Or is it next year?
I don't know. We'll have to see.
Hold on. We are checking.
Checking. Checking. Checking.
Where are they? Nope. Nope.
This is the last year.
I think this is the last year of the Renault engine.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So, I mean, well, I guess in that case, then, you know, the Renault motor could just have itself a day. Who knows?
That's true. That's true. Trying to think, you know, I just can't, I don't see a lot coming out of this other than, you know, it's a photo op with Lewis in the car, you know?
So. Yeah.
But big news, Team LH welcomes back a key component to the team this weekend. Angela Cullen.
Yeah, fitness.
She's
trainer.
Back.
Yeah.
She's back. Took a year off.
Mm-hmm.
And then comes back when he magically goes to Ferrari. I wonder if she was tired of Toto's act.
We haven't even hit the ground running, and I'm already sick of Toto.
Yeah, I don't know. Tired of him.
And anyways. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think he's also sick of some of the questions as well. So, because
yeah,
it seems like everyone's asking him the same question or trying to buddy with him on the same comment about whatever.
I haven't heard a word out of George or Kimmy, and I'm sick of both of them.
I have nothing against Kimmy. I don't think at this point I'm just going to let him do his thing, and you know, if he puts some results out, good for him. If he doesn't, then I mean, I don't really know what his expectation is other than he has to finish at minimum eighth this year.
Right.
Because you can't be any worse than that, unless
yep.
unless there's one of the other six teams that somehow figure it out and vault themselves up the standings.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really hard to say which team is the favorite other than McLaren. Just based off of last year, but I mean, even that, like,
yeah,
they're not bulletproof either.
No,
I mean, Red Bull's definitely taken a drop, but then again, they're more likely to bounce back up this year because the hope is that Lawson is quicker than Perez.
Well, that's well, yeah, in terms of the manufacturer's championship, yes,
yeah,
I have to think that Ferrari is the favorite for the manufacturers championship. I yes. don't think they're the favorite. I'm not 100% certain whether or not they will have somebody contending for the drivers championship, but
well, if they sort out the strategy and I think this is probably the biggest step backwards for them having lost Carlos is I've never seen Lewis really think for himself in terms of strategy because
right.
every time yeah. no, every no, time something right. so went wrong got... he's always the first one to say let's just park it and
right.
Charles hopefully he's picked up something from Carlos in this past year
but
yeah I don't know if that'll be the yeah. case because Carlos was always thinking, or at least he was the most vocally yeah. thinking about stuff.
Which is pretty much where, like, I think with Red Bull, it's very collaborative, you know? I know Max gets pissed when it doesn't go right, but
yeah.
I think it's much more collaborative.
Yes. At least Max and the pit wall. I have to see what it is with Liam. But you know,
there was a clip that I scrolled past on social media either today or yesterday, and it was of Max pulling out of pit lane and he damaged the front nose because he hit the other end of the pit wall, and GP was asking over the radio, "Is the car all right?" And I think one of the other engineers answered, and GP was like, no, I know what happened. I just want to hear from Max. Because it was just like one of the few moments that he could actually, you know, like Max made a mistake, so he could heckle him for that. But yeah, I mean, McLaren is probably the favorite for the driver's title at this point, with just the strength of the car, because with Red Bull, it's kind of a question of what are they focusing on.
Yeah.
Whether it's they're going to try and contend for the 25 championship, or if they're going to put the resources more into the 26 car. And it's obviously, like, we haven't even hit the ground running yet, and we're already talking about 2026. But I mean, just in terms of their development and what they think that they can achieve versus others, whereas to get it, I mean, they're in a fortunate position where they've won the driver's title 4 years in a row. So what is their outlook of success? Are they okay with giving up for a year and then trying to have another, you know, 3 or 4 more years of success in that way? Or do they want to just keep winning? I mean, well, I know every team wants to keep winning, but with how everything is structured with the cost cap and how basically at the second half of last year, more or less, was a battle between 4 teams.
Right.
Mercedes not so much, but you know, it's not like they weren't out to lunch at every single race. There were races where they could win.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to be interesting. Just kind of see. Oh, I just hope no one has any issues.
Yeah.
So that we get to next week and everyone hits the ground, you know, on the same leg coming into this, and then
is the first race
no issue
next weekend?
But it's next weekend. Is it? Wait a minute.
No.
It's no. Later in March. Wait a minute.
You got a weekend off. So this week is preseason testing. Then next weekend is a travel weekend, and then it's the season opener. It's the 16th.
Of March. It's.
Is Melbourne.
It's Melbourne. 16th of March, you're right.
And they open up the season with a doubleheader. They do Melbourne, right, and then they go to Shanghai.
China.
Yeah.
Then they come back to Bahrain in April 11th. Then go to Saudi Arabia. Then they come to Miami.
They go to Japan before they go to Bahrain.
You know, I'm still excited, though, that they're going to Imola again this year. So.
Yeah.
I like that. All right. Well, best of luck to everybody.
Yep.
On that side. IndyCar?
Season opener this week.
Season opener. I don't have a favorite.
I think McLaren is my favorite. Pato?
Really? I'm going to go.
Just based off of last year, but then oh, wait a minute. No, hold on. Let me. I retract that. Herta.
You might want to rethink that.
I think Herta.
Yeah. No, that's a fair point. I still think the team that beats Ganassi.
Oh, wait a minute. first race was this weekend. We get to do picks.
Oh yeah. All right. Oh, Nate. Hold on. Oh, I know who Nate's picking. I got Nate's pick.
I gotta grab something.
That's very exciting.
I forgot about this. God damn.
Yeah, we gotta do picks.
Down here. It should be in here.
I have Nate's picks. They came in from Ship the Shore Radio.
Yes. let's see. All right, so we do a winner and a dark horse.
A dark horse, yeah. Yes.
All right, so I'm going Herta, and my dark horse is Daily.
Okay.
Nate's winner is Devlin DeFrancesco.
Okay, good for him.
And his dark horse is going to be
Ferrucci?
Nope, Stingray Rob.
Oh, okay. Well, isn't he at Ganassi this year?
No, Stingray? No.
No, it's not Stingray.
He's at Yunko. He's at Yunko.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually, I shouldn't say that. That's a bad pick because I picked the
Yunko scar. My dark horse is Willpower.
What? Penske is a dark horse? No. Go ahead. Keep going.
And
your winner.
All right. If you're gonna say I can't pick a Penske car, then all right, my dark horse can be Alexander Rossi.
Okay, that's fair enough.
All right, which I don't think he's a dark horse, but if you're gonna say that, that's fine. My winner is gonna be Hello Palo.
All right. Well, I think Penske, McLaren, and Ganassi are your power three teams, and I'm holding off on Andretti just because they have kind of slipped over the past couple years.
Penske?
Penske, McLaren, and Ganassi.
Let's go. What team? Okay, I'm gonna. What team do you expect the most out of this year? I'm gonna go. Is it still Andretti? I don't know. No. TWG.
Yeah.
Anyways, whatever. You know. That it's going to be, anyways, my team that's going to, I think, is going to slip is McLaren. Because they have had a lot of departures in management and in engineering. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I know they've got Tony Kanaan coming in as team principal. That's fine, but it's the engineering staff and mechanics that have left that troubles me with that team.
Yeah.
It's like a revolving door, you know? And I don't know how Pato gets continuity out of it.
Right. I mean, well, outside of management moving around a bit, I wonder how much of the, you know, core team itself is moving around. Like all the mechanics and other engineers that are on the staff. Cuz there's more to the puzzle than just the right. Top guy. So, and they really have only been going up each year.
Yeah.
So it maybe these final changes could go the other way and push them over the bar.
So you're seeing it going the other way. Gotcha.
No, I don't necessarily see it going the other way. I think they're still kind of just in that window of, like, they're there and they can do it. It's just they need the consistency.
Yeah.
And they don't have that. And they also don't have that from every single car either. I mean, now it's what, Pato, and who's the other two? Where's the team graphic?
McLaren?
Yeah, hold on. All right. McLaren is, that's last year, I need this year. McLaren is Pato, Nolan Siegel, and Christian Lundgaard.
Now, the driver that could surprise there is Lundgaard.
I think Lundgaard would be fine. Siegel, I think, will take longer to get up to speed. Not that he can't do it.
No.
Depends on his preparation.
Right.
And Andretti, they can do it with Colton. They just need a consistent finish week in and week out. Because, again, last year it was really just two bad weekends that kind of took him out of the fight, and one of them was Indy. And it was a real shame because he had a strong car and could have easily been top five, maybe top three.
Yep.
At the end of it. Ganassi is just they just pick up the pieces.
It's Dixon, Pelot. Yeah. It's Dixon, Pelot, and Kiffin Stenson, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, Pelot is the new Dixon 2.0 at this point.
Yeah.
He is.
And
he
really is. And if Pelot has a bad weekend, Dixon's right there to pick up.
Let's put it this way: if Ganassi starts off with a top five finish for both cars, I think that's good. I don't have a thought on Penske right now. I just don't, and I don't know why.
Well, okay, based off of last year, I think they were the team that threw it away.
I agree, and they threw it away with the stupid issue with the
push to pass.
The push to pass, and then there were a couple other
things. They did it
weekly. There were a couple other things that went on and stuff like that. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, they had fast cars pretty much every single week, and they couldn't put it together. And even when they had to do damage limitation, it didn't seem like they...
Yeah, they didn't do it right. Yeah,
exactly.
Now, a team that's really... I'm curious about is Ray Hall.
Yeah.
Because we got what? We got Graham...
Devlin and Louis Foster.
Well, yeah. So it's not so much Devlin, but Graham and Louis. Mm. I'm kind of curious, like, how that's going to go. You know, I think that's good. Now, Marcus Thomas, like the other team, that's curious to see how they start. Shank, Marcus Armstrong, and Felix. So, I mean, like, there's, like, any of those teams could win, seriously.
Yes. Yeah, and even...
I don't think Ray Hall, like, is in a position to win, but I'm just kind of curious to see if they'll improve.
Because they've definitely been, like...
I mean,
like, the back marker team. For the past Foyt's couple got, years, and it's tough to say that.
Foyt definitely has a solid lineup.
Yes.
With Ferrucci and
Malukas.
Malukas, yeah.
Too many.
So why can't I think of, like, who he is? At least I know who they are. Yeah. I mean,
that's a good point. And are they still doing their partnership with Penske too?
Yes, they are.
Okay, yeah. So I mean, even
and
even more so
now at Coin, who's there?
VK and Abel.
Oh, okay. Is that Jacob Abel?
Yeah.
VK, man, he could pull a rabbit out of the hat.
There is a lot of good drivers, and there was a lot of movement between last year and this year.
Yeah.
So
yeah. So I'm kind of excited. I'm really excited to see it. It's the unfortunate thing is it's on a street course to start.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
Yeah. But I mean, like last year it was, or maybe not last year, even the year before.
Yunkos came out of the gate. Up a good
flying.
Yeah. The track puts up a good, you know, puts out a good race. So,
yeah,
you know, should be interesting. So,
I was going to say,
Nate's got, who's Nate's picks again?
Devlin DeFrancesco to win.
And Stingray Rob, right?
Stingray Rob as his.
Yeah, right.
Dark horse.
I know.
What was it last?
Actually, I can't do that to him. I can't do that.
Okay. How about this? His first place winner is
I'm going to go
Captain America. He'll do Captain America, Ryan Hunter-Reay.
He's not running.
Oh, no. They're only doing Indy. My bad.
I'm looking at the wrong. It would be Junior Captain America, Connor Daly.
Yeah.
That's who Nate would pick.
Okay. That's fine.
I
like that pick. It'll be interesting to see how Prema shows up. I'm not expecting a lot from him, but
I'm not expecting a lot. I'm expecting more as the season goes on. Yeah. After they get past Indy, that's where I'm expecting to see where this team is.
Yeah,
I think
I don't think they're going to come out and just be the back marker the whole time. Like they're there for.
I don't expect that. I think where they're going to have issues is more at Milwaukee, Iowa.
The old.
They go to Kansas?
No.
In Kansas?
No.
Where do they go? Milwaukee, Iowa. Nashville. Oh, and Nashville. Yeah, that's where I think they're gonna. That's where their struggle is going to be.
You basically listed like every oval.
Yeah, but Indy's totally different. You know.
Okay, so in Indy aside, I mean,
I think that you
pretty much listed all the ovals.
Right. I think that's where they're going to struggle.
Well, yeah, I would expect them to. Unless they've staffed their team with, more indie guys than we think.
Right. So,
but again, they're not.
But I'm excited for it. They're not motorsport
illiterate. They'll figure it.
No, they aren't. They'll figure it out. They have a strong history in open wheel racing. So
they will be all right.
It's also So we got Will Buxton on the call.
Yes, we do.
We got Hinch and Townsend in the booth. So down on the pit lane, we have Kevin Lee. We have Jack Hawksworth. I'm sorry, Jack Harvey. Sorry, Jack Hawksworth. Sorry, Jack Harvey. And then we have Jimmy Little, and then we have Georgia Henneberry. So we have two people from NBC and Lee and Henneberry coming over with Hinch and Townsend. We have Jamie Little, who's a Fox stalwart motorsports person, and then you know Jack Harvey, kind of bringing it, you know, a driver perspective down the pit lane.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how it goes. I just hope we don't have hokey cartoon looking driver things like they do in NASCAR, but knowing Fox, they love to do that, so we'll probably have that. So we'll see how much hokiness there is with the Fox broadcast.
Yeah.
Outside of that, like I said, I think this is the biggest thing. I'm well, two things. I'm looking forward to the WEC race and this. Unfortunately, there's no overlap, so that's good. Mm-hmm. We also will get to see the Indy NXT race. It's switching between FS2 throughout the weekend and FS1, so that's good.
All right.
So excited about that.
Oh, and the MX5s.
Oh, they're there too. Yes. You're right.
Yes.
Yep, that's exciting. Series. That's exciting.
Actually, I don't even. What's the weather gonna be like? Oh, I did notice this, that someone posted in F1 that two teams took a few wet tires as in their tire allocation for Bahrain, because I guess it looks like it's gonna rain one of the days this week.
Woo! Exciting.
So, out there in the desert. This weekend in St. Pete is going to be warm and sunny. Very, very exciting. Low chance of rain at all.
All right.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then for you two-wheel enthusiasts, Thai GP. This weekend.
Yes.
So, looking forward to that. I will try and fit that in somewhere. But I will be on board and on call for IndyCar this weekend. So, looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be a good weekend. A lot of racing.
Yeah, I think so. And on that note,
good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Red Mist Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.